Let's take the Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Yes, that was good singing. The music's been great all week. It's just been a great week. It's gone by too fast. It really has. It's gone by too quick. Dana and I have thoroughly been blessed being with all of you. And Sunday afternoon, having Calvary come over as well, that was a real treat. All the accommodations and hospitality has been a great blessing. And the Lord will bless you for that. The Lord will. By the way, pray about something with me. The 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of April 2025, we plan to have another preaching conference at Midcoast Baptist Church. And you pray about getting your pastor up there, okay? And Mrs. Byler, if at all possible. And just pray about that. That'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like we did a year ago in 2023. That was, for me, a very helpful meeting. I think it was for all the preachers that attended. And pray with us that God will strengthen Midcoast Baptist Church to do that, and that He'll work in the weather and it will cooperate well and all. April can be a little, you know, we had spring come and we had the two biggest snow and ice storms of the whole winter in April this year. We just got through those just before I came down here. We got a foot of snow and power lines down, trees snapped all over the place. Our house didn't have electricity for 3 or 4 days. We do have a good generator, thank God. It can run everything but the dryers. And yeah, dryers, plural. I have a bunch of daughters. So, now somebody gave us a second dryer, so we said, yeah, we'll take it. and then the church building does not have a generator. So my brother and another man, Sam Watkins, he's going to be my son-in-law soon. But they hooked everything up to run the basics. You got to have water and lights and some heat and all. So we can do that with the church as needed, but it's bringing in portable generators. And we're praying about one day getting a whole building generator that's automatic, you know, and that's really the way to go if the Lord will help us with that. But April can be a little sketchy, but the Lord knows. Last year when we had that, the Lord blessed, and that field that we have to use for overflow parking was all firm, and everything was just wonderful. So do pray about that, please. That's just a big deal, and it really strengthens pastors and missionaries and preachers in training, too. And there are a lot of folks there. And obviously, thank you for praying and keep praying for Carson River Baptist Church that has been started and is now organized, and they're growing and gaining ground. We're seeing God do good things. They're just 5 hours from Brother Sutton, so they're able to have some fellowship together. Bethel Baptist over in El Sobrante is 3.5 hours. They get some fellowship. And then, obviously, the group we're sending out to Reno and Sparks, be in much prayer about that. The Lord is able, but the devil will fight. He is fighting. He's absolutely fighting. He does not want to see us advance. He does not want to see Lighthouse Baptist Church advance or Calvary Baptist Church advance. And then, just to commend you for supporting Brother Sutton, that is money absolutely wisely invested. I've known him now for, I think, going on 20 years. I've seen his labor of love at Bethel when he was there. Saw him endure a few years ago the aneurysm. You know, he had an aneurysm while he was preaching. And he was preaching and he just said, well, pray for me. My head is really hurting. He kept preaching. Then finally said, I can't preach anymore. And he went and laid down, nearly died. And the Lord brought him through that, got him up in Medford. I was with him in Medford a year ago, right about this time, right after our preaching conference. I was there. And to see what God's doing and to see Medford, it is such a needy area. And it's a growing area. It's a lot like this. You all are in the middle of something that's just growing. So much opportunity. So much sin, so much wickedness, so much false religion. But that's opportunity, amen? It's opportunity. Everywhere you go, there's lost people. And you can talk to them. Pray for Brother Sutton and that church. They're a dear folk. And we'd love to see God adding to them, saving souls for His purpose and His glory. That's a tract. I keep tracts in my pocket. Your preacher, or he was mentioning giving out tracts. And giving out tracts the right way. I've been with Baptists that say this. They get a tract out and they say, hey, I got something for you if you have a time later, maybe you might want to read this. Or they say something like, if you get a chance, read this. Would you read something if someone said, hey, if you get a chance, you might want to look at that? I don't want to. If someone says to me, hey, this might be something if you're bored half to death, can't go to sleep, you know. So I, years ago, started saying, hey, I have something I want you to have, and this is the most important thing you'll read. This has the Word of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, take some time to check this out. It's the greatest news there is. It's the reason I know I'm on the way to heaven. I'm saved by the grace of God. What a difference if you do it like that. I grew up with a guy, and he was a dear man, just a dear, sweet, salt-of-the-earth guy, one of the most faithful men I've ever known. But he was one of those guys I always heard growing up. He'd say, if you get a chance sometime, you might want to look at that. And so I got to a certain point, I thought, that's not the way to do it. So I would just encourage you as you give out tracts, as you invite people to church, I mean, it's like, hey, you got to come to our church and hear our preacher. He will preach the gospel. He preaches the Bible. You got to come hear this guy. And then when they come here, you know, as the preacher preaches, say amen, nod your head, let them know, like, he's not the only guy that believes this. We believe it. I believe it. You know, we're all believing the same thing here. And after church, I learned this from Charles Spurgeon. His people would say, so what did you think about what our preacher just preached? They would say, you heard him preach. So imagine he was preaching to thousands of people. Well, a lot of them were church members. A lot of them were not. They had a lot of people that just came in and visited. But church members would say, you heard Reverend Spurgeon. You heard Pastor Spurgeon. What do you think about what he said? He preached the Bible to you. What are you going to do with that? That's a great way to do it, isn't it? So I want to encourage you in that. But I'm just thrilled to see what God's doing here. It's been incredible what the Lord's done in raising up this church, bringing this church through great storms, valleys, mountains, and all of it, and getting you to where you are. And you're a force for God in this area by God's grace. God is a force through you for Him and for His glory. You really are. You really are a lighthouse. And keep doing what you're doing. You don't need to change songs and change Bibles and change this. And, you know, one day you might need to change pastors. I mean, we're getting older and everything, but you don't need to go some other route and try some new hipster thing. This is what works. What you're doing works. And when I say works, if we really do it God's way for the glory of God, not just to be weird, and there's no grace and no big medal for just being weirdos. Just trying intentionally to be weird and odd and hard to get along with. Not that, but just if we serve God and do it God's way, we're a success no matter what. Because God is pleased. That's the ultimate success. The word success is one time in the Bible. You know that, don't you? Where is it? Joshua 1:8. And that's being faithful to the Word of God, living and obeying and preaching the Word of God. So you are a success by the grace of God, according to the Bible. And that's the truth. The Bible's the truth. Keep doing what you're doing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. It's like it's blossomed again. It's flowered again. Wherein ye were also careful. Paul's saying you did care, but ye lacked opportunity. There are times when we are full of care for a missionary, full of care to help get the gospel out, but we don't have all the opportunity that we wish we had, or we don't have any opportunity. We just have no way to do something. And that was the case here. They knew about Paul's needs in Rome, but they lacked opportunity. Now, that's a different idea than you see in Galatians 6, where it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. There Paul's writing, and it's an indicative verb, and he's saying, as we have therefore opportunity, he's saying, we have opportunity. We have it. So he's not saying, like, if we do, we'll do good, and if we don't. He was saying to that church, we have opportunity. That idea is, while we're alive, we do have opportunity. So we may not always have the same amount of opportunity. We may not always have as much opportunity as we'd like to have. But while you're in this world, you've got some opportunity to use your time, your energy, your money, your gifts, your abilities, your talents. You do have opportunity. Even if you are the weakest member physically, you can pray. You can find some way to be an encouragement. My dad knew Oliver B. Green's wife when Dad lived in Greenville, South Carolina. He knew her very well. Actually, it wasn't his wife. I think it was his mother that he knew. And she was a very, very old lady. This had been about 1972, 73, 74. And she was a member of the church my dad was a member of. And she couldn't even get out of the house by this time. But she always had a big pile of tracts. And when the water man came to read the meter, he got a tract. And when the postman came, he got a tract. When the delivery man came, anybody that was coming to her house for anything, they got a tract. And of course, she prayed for her preacher, and she prayed for church members, and she prayed for the young preachers in the church, like my dad who was learning to preach and all. There's always something you can do. I had a friend years ago. He had cerebral palsy. He was my age, and he was very weak. He was just stricken with this difficulty. And one day he was lamenting to me as we were out together. He was lamenting that he said, I would love to go. I would love to go preach. I would love to do the things you do. I was 23. He was about 22 maybe. And I said, Josh, I said, let's make a deal. I said, how about you make a commitment to God and me that you'll pray for me while I preach? I said, you can't preach. You can't preach, but I can preach. Now, I can preach and pray, but you can't preach, but you can pray. Will you make a deal with me that you'll do that? I don't know where he is today. I hope he's kept his end of the bargain. By God's grace, I'm preaching. But if he has, then everywhere I preach and every time I preach, he has a part in that. He has fruit also. I think we do have opportunity. If we want it, we can do it. We can do what we can do. We don't need to lament what we can't do. But we can use what we do have and do what we can do. Here Paul's saying to the church of Philippi, you cared, but you lacked opportunity. Then he says, in regard to the gift they sent, not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not speaking like, oh, I don't have enough, and I, you know, God doesn't take care of me. For I have, what's the word? Learned. Now, if you learn something, it's because you've been taught it, right? I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that's brought low, and I know how to abound, that's to be full and running over. Everywhere the school Paul was in, it was everywhere. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full. Don't we like that? We like to be full. But we got to learn to be hungry also. Both to be full and to be hungry. Well, how will you ever learn to be hungry if you're never without some food? To be hungry. And both to abound and to suffer need. And then I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth, present tense, ongoing, continually strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, when he says communicate, they didn't just write him a letter. It's the word for fellowship. It's also used in Galatians chapter 6, I think it's 6, where he writes about how no church communicated. Well, he says it later right here in this passage. No church communicated with me as giving and receiving. And it's also used over in Galatians 6. Him that is taught, that's the one being taught, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things, in material things. So you communicated with me in my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, Philippi was the capital of Macedonia. So when Paul left them, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Remember, Paul left Philippi, and he went on down and he preached some other places. He's in Thessalonica for about 3.5 weeks, and he preached the word of God. And that church at Philippi, having just started out, just saved and baptized and organized, already supporting a missionary named the Apostle Paul. When should churches take on missionaries? I believe right away. And I think we should just keep on doing it until the Lord comes. If the Lord hasn't come yet, then we're still taking on missionaries, whatever we can do, and we're supporting missionaries. Not because I desire a gift. That's not the point. I'm not saying all this in this letter Paul writes. He's not saying all that because, oh, I just want a gift. I just want a gift. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit, even in Rome, where as he writes this, he's under house arrest. As you are helping me be sustained in Rome, I'm preaching the gospel, and now you have fruit to your account. Praise the Lord for that. Remember, I talked Sunday school, I talked about you give your time and energy, and in response for that, in exchange for that, you get money from a client or from a boss or whatever, and you take that money, which is a part of your life, your time and energy was given to get that money, and now that money is part of your life, and you give that to missions, and that goes wherever it goes. And so it's just your life going to help alongside the life of the missionary. So you literally have a part in the preaching and teaching, the discipling, the evangelizing, all that Brother Sutton's doing. You're there doing it with him in a sense. You have transferred your time and energy and money into that, and now that goes there, and that's a store of value and a transfer of value all the way to Medford, Oregon, and you absolutely have fruit to your account. This lady that they're discipling, these two ladies that they're taking through the gospel lessons, if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's fruit to your account. You'll come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. This is very amazing to me. Here's physical things. Here's some money. Here's maybe some dried fruit and some other, maybe a cloak, maybe some things to clean himself with and whatever. Whatever these things are that Epaphroditus brought, they're things that you can look at, you can feel, you can see them, you can touch them. But they're also spiritual. Because it says a sacrifice that goes up before God, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We see dollar bills, we see checks, we see money, we see material things, but God actually takes that as a spiritual sacrifice and it ascends up before His throne and He is well-pleased. Praise God. But my God shall supply all your need according to, so out of thee, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, add your blessing to the reading of the Word and help us with the preaching and the reception of the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I preached last night on God strengthens His people. God gives power to His people. And God gave Sarah herself strength. Remember that? He gives strength, but He doesn't give strength away. His strength is never diminished, not in the least. And here we see Paul was strengthened by Christ to do all things that Christ had for him to do. Now that's point number one. That's a long point. Paul was strengthened by Christ to do all things Christ had for him to do. The title of the message is Give and God Will Supply. So on the one hand, you have Paul. He says, God strengthens me, Christ strengthens me to do everything that He has for me to do. Now, if you will, just go in your memory with me back to Acts 16, where we can read all about the founding of the church at Philippi. Paul, when he says, I can do all things through Christ, that has a context, amen. How many of you have noticed a lot of people in our country love to claim Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and all kinds of interesting, to say the least, ways. They just love, that's one of those willy-nilly, grab a favorite phrase out of the Bible and slap it on to whatever you lust for and then claim, well, Philippians 4, 13. Hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can win this poker tournament. I literally had a guy say that to me. Kid I grew up with. He said, Bob, I get into professional poker tournaments now. I got to Las Vegas. And he said, I sit there and I'm like, Lord, help me, because this is not a good hand, but I can do all things. That is blasphemous. I think it's just as blasphemous when a man suits up for a sporting event, a major league sporting event on a Sunday, has nothing to do with the church, nothing to do, really lives, doesn't live for Christ at all by the Bible, but he puts Philippians 4:13 under his eyes, you know, or on his sneakers, or he gets in, you know, he gets in front of the camera, another guy after he knocks somebody out in the boxing ring, and he's standing there not wearing any clothes really, and just surrounded by all kinds of indecency and liquor advertisements and everything else. And he says, I did it through Christ, which strengtheneth me, you know, and everything. Let's be real about the context. Context matters, amen. Understatement of the year, context matters. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, he had just said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. He just said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I'm instructed to be full and hungry, to abound and to suffer need. So think back to Acts 16. Paul went to Philippi. He's writing to the church of Philippi here. In Acts 16, he went to Philippi. And how did he get there? Well, he was trying to go into Asia and some other places, and the Lord kept shutting the door. Do you remember that? Sounds like he was being abased. Then the Lord flung open a door. Paul goes down to the riverside and he preached. And a lady named Lydia was there, and Lydia was saved, and she and her household believed. And then Lydia said, if you judge me to be faithful, come stay in my house, Paul and Silas. I know how to abound. Here's Lydia, a seller of purple. That indicates she was a woman with a lot of material means. So Paul goes from doors are being shut, can't go where he's hoping to go and wants to go, to now a door is flung open. This wealthy businesswoman takes him in. She has servants, she has a household, and they have nice quarters to live in now. I know how to abound. Well, then he's preaching in Philippi as he's living there at Lydia's place, and there's a young lady that is possessed of a spirit, a demon, and she's following Paul and Silas around and screaming, these men are the true power of God. These men are the servants of the Most High God. Oh, that was abasing Paul. That was amazing. He did not like that, didn't want that. But then he commanded, after days, he commanded the devil to come out, and the devil came out. Paul's abounding. He's abased, now he's abounding. Then he's in Philippi, and he's falsely accused and slandered. His clothes are ripped off of him. He's beaten. He's thrown into prison. His feet are held fast in stocks. He's learning how to be abased. He's brought low. He's humbled. Well, at midnight, he and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and there's a great earthquake, right? And the bonds fall off, and then the jailer is saved, and the jailer's family is saved, and they baptize them in the middle of the night. Paul's abounding again. And then the next day, he's told to get out of town, and he has to fight for his rights as a Roman citizen. Kind of looks like he's abased again. And so he's abased, and he's abounding, he's abased, and he's abounding. Now we read of him in Philippians. We know that here he's up in Rome under house arrest. He's abased. He wishes he could be out preaching. But nevertheless, the word of the Lord is working there in Rome. He's abased. But then he writes a letter to the church at Philippi, and he's received a gift from them. He's abounding. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for all the precious sacrifice that you've made so I can have what I need here, so I can do all of this through Christ which strengtheneth me. I believe the idea is not at all whatever I cook up, whatever I scheme up, whatever I lust for, I can say, well, I can do it through Jesus. But I believe it's whatever Christ actually has for me to do in the will of Christ, my King, then I can do all of that through the strength that Christ gives me as I'm His faithful servant by the grace of God. That's the context. Praise the Lord, God is strong and He strengthens His people. And so I doubt I need to give this admonition, but I'll give it anyway in case you're ever tempted. Don't ever abuse this verse. Resting it from its place to claim the power of Christ to do whatever you desire. Now, you know, if a man delights in the Lord gives him the desires of his heart. And what that's telling us, and I believe if you do a careful study of this, you'll find this to be true, but you check it out. I believe what that's telling us is if I delight in the Lord will put the right desires in me, and then He'll see the fulfillment of those. I don't believe it's just, well, I desire, you know, I saw it today. I saw some really hot cars. I desire one of those. And I saw, man, I saw a Road King look like a brand new Harley Davidson Road King. Well, I desire that. And if I delight in the Lord, the desires of my heart coming for me. Name it and claim it, brother. Amen. You know? No, if I delight in the Lord, I'll desire what He desires. He'll put desires in my heart, and I'll see those fulfilled. So it's never to just take this and whatever I want. Well, I can do all things, but it's what Christ has for me to do, where He has me, what He's put on my plate or what He's put on my shoulders. I can do the will of Christ through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And notice that it says I can do, not just dream. We get a lot of dreamers in churches today, a lot of big idea people, and a lot of, oh, I'll do this if God ever opens the door. It'd be good to just do what God's opened the door for. And by the way, remember last night, sometimes the Lord, or two nights ago, sometimes the Lord lets some things be difficult for us to test our faith to see if we'll go up on the roof and rip up some tiles. Let's do what He's given us to do. But I can do, not just think, not just speak, but I can do everything Christ has given me through Christ, which continually, present tense, strengtheneth me. So point number one, Paul was strengthened by Christ to do all things Christ had for him to do. Point number two, I'm not a good Baptist preacher because I've only got 2 points again. Good Baptist preachers have 3 points and a poem, amen? And they're always all alliterated. I like alliteration. I always say when it flows, I flow with it, but I'm not going to fight and try to make it happen. The church at Philippi, this is point two, was promised supply from the same God through Christ. The power of the risen Christ Jesus strengthened Paul, and the power of the risen Christ Jesus would also see to it that my God, Paul said, shall what? Supply all your what? Need according to what? His riches in glory by whom? By Christ Jesus. Think about Paul there under house arrest, preaching the Word of God to all the visitors that would come in. I mean, leaders of the Jews were coming in to hear him preach. Roman soldiers that guarded him heard him preach. Some of them went out and they preached the gospel too out of derision. Paul said, if the gospel is being preached, I'm happy. You ever think through all that? You ever think about that, Nathan? Here's Paul under house arrest. Here's some old burly Roman soldier standing over there. And day in and day night, and day in and day out. That's how you say it. Day in and day out, he hears Paul. Christ died for our sins. Jesus of Nazareth paid the penalty for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And he was buried, and he was rose again, and he's coming again. And some Roman soldier hears that night after night, and one night he gets done with his shift taking care of Paul. He's so tired of this. He goes down to the local saloon or bar or whatever he had, and he's in there, and someone says, what'd you do today? And he said, oh, the same thing I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Listen to this guy go on and on and on. Well, what's he been saying? Well, I'll tell you. You ready? There's this guy called Jesus of Nazareth, and he supposedly went about healing people and raising people from the dead. And one day, one of our guys crucified him, some of our soldiers, and they crucified him, not because he was a bad guy, but for all of our sins, all of our drinking and drunkenness and adulterating. He took the blame for all of it, died in our place, and then he got buried. They put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again, and all these eyewitnesses saw him, and then he ascended up to heaven, and before he did that, he said he's coming back one day. And he's totally preaching it out of derision and mockery. And somebody else maybe is sitting at that bar going, man, what about that? Have I ever told you about the girl in China? Probably have. I met a girl in China when I was over there preaching. And I was there with a nephew of mine. And, well, first I wasn't there with a nephew of mine. I met a whole bunch of college kids one night. They were playing a game outside, similar to hacky sack, but easier. It has feathers coming out of it so that there's some drag. So I joined in with them, this big circle, and we played that. And they were learning English, and so I was helping them with English. They taught me some Mandarin words and all. And before I left them that evening, I said, I want to tell you all something. I preached the gospel to them. It was a year later I went back over there, and the same one of the I got in touch with all of them, had all their phone numbers. Got in touch with all of them. Only a few of them met up with me and my nephew. One was this young lady, and her name was Yu, Y-U. And she wanted to talk further with my nephew and me, Eric. Some of you remember Eric Hughes Jr., I think it was. I think he's junior, not third. But anyway, she wanted to talk with us. And she said, you told me about this Jesus. And she said, that's really bothered me all year, because she said, before you told me, I had a professor in the communist university, a professor who taught a course on comparative religions. And she said, I don't remember, and I never could remember anything about all the religions except the one where an innocent man died for all of our crimes. And she said, that bothers me all the time, that an innocent man died for everybody's crimes, my crimes, your crimes, everybody. And I said, oh, yeah. Let me tell you about that. So we sat down with her and preached the gospel. She came out to church. Every night I preached while I was there. A few months later, Daniel Fleming led her to the Lord and baptized her. There's power in the gospel. And Paul's talking about up in Rome when he writes about that earlier in Philippians, about some preach out of contempt and derision and basically trying to stir up arguments, and some preach it out of love for Christ. Either way, it's getting preached. Well, the same Christ that was helping Paul there through all of that contention and strife and that misery and the Jews coming in and arguing with him. You read about that in the last chapter of Acts. The same Paul who was doing all of that, the same Paul that's meeting his needs, is going to meet the needs of the church of Philippi. Praise God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. So think about those riches in glory for a minute. How would you quantify those, the riches in glory? You put a price tag on those. So God's going to take care of you because you gave materially to Paul. My God's going to take care of you, and he's going to do it out of his storehouse, which is his riches in glory. You think there's enough? You think there's enough there? Enough grace, mercy, loving kindness, power, authority, streets of gold, gates of pearl. I mean, out of his riches in glory, he's going to meet your needs. Limitless, eternal, immeasurable riches. All that pertains to life and godliness. Think of all that God has for you and for me up in glory, but measured out to you and to you and to me in real time just when we need it. Measuring it all out to us and measured out here to His church. A church that gives to missions to support God's men that are going through this matter of preaching the gospel in the regions beyond. And the regions beyond can be two counties over. It could be across the world. The field is the world. I don't believe we ever need to get caught up with home and foreign missions. It's all foreign outside of this embassy. My same Lord God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. The Lighthouse Baptist Church, just think of that. The riches and glory, and God just giving it as you need it. Now, so often He doesn't give us piles and piles for us to store in big barns. And, well, we're good now. We're all set for 10 years. I mean, if everybody lost a job and if we all just went flat broke, we have 10 years worth to keep going. That's usually not how God does it. Usually it's just feeding us, giving it out, and we're taking it in and we're giving, and it's just going through us like a channel. And He says, all by Christ Jesus, according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. For Christ Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. He is the one who mediates everything to us from God the Father. Listen, the man Christ Jesus. You ever do a study on the humanity of Jesus Christ, that'll bless your heart. I promise you. God became flesh, and now Christ is again seated in His glory, but as the man Christ Jesus, who came and who fought the fight, who won the battle, who never failed, who defeated Satan, who died in our place, representing every one of us as the last Adam. Song says second Adam, but the Bible says last Adam. The last Adam, the one we all in Adam sinned and died, went into eternal death in Adam. But in Christ, if you get saved, if you believe on Jesus, then God sees you as having been in Christ when He lived and when He died and when He raised Him again. It's all applied retroactively. I can't explain it all, but it's wonderful. And there is a man up there in the glory. It's the man Christ Jesus. He is God 100%. He is 100% man. He is the God-man. And He mediates everything from God the Father to us, the one mediator between God and man. And all of our prayers and all of our gifts, He takes those and presents them to the Father. Hallelujah. Our great high priest, our intercessor, our advocate with the Father. And so from Christ and by Christ and through Christ, we have all that we need. He's the creator of all, the sustainer of all, the giver of all light and life and wisdom and grace. And He is our great shepherd who gave Himself for us and who shepherds us. And the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is our shepherd, so we shall not what? We shall not want, we shall not lack. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. I've often thought, you know, if He's withholding it, then it's either not good, no good thing will He withhold, or I'm not walking uprightly, or it's just not the right time. Just not the right time. If He's withholding it, He knows. I preached a sermon a while back to our church. The title was, God Knows What He's Doing. And it's kind of like, duh. But sometimes we need to hear that, don't we? He knows what He is. And you can look through the Bible and you can see times where the people that were going through it, I know they had to be thinking, well, they say it even at times. Like, Lord, Thou knowest. You remember Ananias? Thou knowest this man's been persecuting and everything. God knows what He's doing. And Christ is giving all that we need right on time. Our salvation is by Christ Jesus. So this has puzzled me for years about me and about you and about every believer. This has puzzled me about us as humans. It's a sad commentary. This is it. We trust Him with our eternal souls. And we struggle to trust Him with giving us water, giving us food, putting the money in our wallet that we need, giving us a job, taking care of our family, taking care of His church. We struggle with these things. We trust Him to deliver us from a hell we've never seen, put us in a heaven we've never experienced, give us a glorified body that's even beyond our wildest imaginations. We do believe it now, but we trust Him with all of these unseen things, and we struggle with trusting Him to help us right here and right now. And we shouldn't struggle. We should trust Him. We should live by faith, believing Him. He who gave His blood and gave His life, He who rose again for us, He who sits and pleads at the Father's right hand for us is worthy of nothing but absolute faith in Him. He will supply all our need. just as he did for Paul. He'll supply all the church at Philippi's need, and he'll supply all of Lighthouse Baptist Church's need as you do his will. Our salvation is by Christ, and he bears us now before the Father. And Jesus Christ claims you and me. If you're saved, he claims us as his own. He's not the least bit embarrassed of us. Don't you praise God for that? You say, but I've sinned and I failed. Yes, and his blood covers it all. And that's no license to sin. God forbid we should say, well, it's sin that grace abounds. Christ is not embarrassed of us. He loves us. He is eager to take us to glory to be with him. When the Father says, go get them, Jesus is coming quickly. There will be no delay. He said, behold, I come quickly. He represents us before the Father. The accuser of the brethren rails against us, tries to point out our faults, and Jesus can point to the blood, and the Father doesn't see our sins. He sees the blood that's on the mercy seat. Praise God. Christ loves you, and he's so eager for you. He's coming to get you and to take you to be not just in his place, but to take you to be with him himself. Praise God for that. He said over in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You ever been at someone's house and you're not really with them? You ever go out to eat with somebody and they're there, but you're not with them because they're with all their friends on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all their text buddies and everything, and you're like, I thought we were having lunch together, but apparently you're with a bunch of other people. You ever been through that? There's been times I've been out with folks, and I've said, hey, let's do this. Let's put the phone down and hang out with each other. And I enjoyed that today. We had lunch together. I didn't feel like I was out with the Bylers and also 50 other people, you know, or like I'm just sitting over there, you know, well, as soon as Nathan's done chatting with whoever, you know, but actually, Nathan said, would you go out with us? And we went out with them. By the way, I made out like a bandit, brother, because you gave me a gift card to go out to eat today. It's the best gift card there is. It was greenback gift card. It was paper gift card. And if you want, I'll give it back to you because we didn't even need it today. He said, I can keep it. Everybody say amen. We'll vote on that. Amen. All right, we're keeping it. But yeah, I made out like a bandit. That's a Baptist preacher for you. One guy gives you money to go get something to eat, and another guy says, I'll take it. Yes, sir, I'll go with you. If I was a decent, I didn't even think of it, brother. I could have said, well, we have money for ours, but it's too late now. What's done is done. Amen. You can't go back. Amen. Everybody say amen. You can't go back. Oh, enough humor. I thank God. I thank God we have all we need. I thank God we have everything we need. We shall not want. Our Lord who sits and pleads on our behalf. Our Lord who represents us. Oh, we have an awful accuser. But what a wonderful advocate we have with the Father. What a wonderful heavenly lawyer we have. And he's never lost a case. And he never will. Because the Father loves the Son. And the Son's people, the Father loves because we're his people. And so we are accepted in the beloved. Romans chapter 5. Praise God. So Paul's telling the church at Corinth, God loves you, and the same God who supplies all my need through Christ Jesus, and I can have all this power and strength to do everything Christ has given me to do. The same Christ Jesus will strengthen you, the Father, through the Son. He will give you all that you need. He'll supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. He loves you so much, I was saying, that he wants you to be with him himself forever and ever. He came to seek us and to save us, to win us and to take us to be with him and to be his happy servants forever. Pastor Beiler talked about Paul being a slave, and I love to preach through Philippians and show Paul was a servant. He was a happy servant. He was never grumbling about it. He was never like, this isn't right, I'm a slave. Now, he was the happiest slave. What a wonderful master we have. So as the church at Philippi supported Paul, while he's doing the will of God there, God is supplying all their need in Philippi while they're doing God's will there. And the same Lord Jesus Christ who strengthened Paul and who supplied everything for the church at Philippi, it is kind of alliterated, strengthened Paul, supplied for them. Good. Accidental alliteration will work. The same God who did all of that will do that for you, Lighthouse Baptist Church. And he is doing it for you. He absolutely is. It's visible. You know, I can say with Barnabas, Barnabas went up from the church of Jerusalem. He went up to Antioch, and it says that he saw the grace of God. I'm thankful I don't have to cross my fingers when I say this. I see the grace of God here. Praise God. I see the grace of God. The same God with the same riches and the same Christ measuring out that same supply to the church in Philippi is measuring it out for you today. Oh, I love that it's the same riches and glory. You know, God gives, but He's not giving away. It's not like when God supplied their need, His dwindled a little bit, and God had to go, now, how are we going to replace that? It's not like when God supplies your need, that His barn comes a little lower. He's looking at His portfolio. What are we going to do here? No, it's an immeasurable, limitless supply. Praise God. So like Paul, our part is to learn to be content. He said, I've learned to be content. It's to receive the instruction. We learn to be abased and how to abound. We're in school for that. Receive the instruction. And our part is also to remain confident in the Lord, that God is strengthening us, and utilize the ability that He's given to us as He's strengthening us. Put it to work. Put it to work. God's given us strength to use. So like Paul, that's our part. And then like the church at Philippi, our part as we look at them is to emulate them. What did they do? They gave, and then they had the promise. My God shall supply all your need. Now Paul's saying, I can do all things. A lot of people take that. They have no business taking it. They take up that promise. I can do it through Christ. It's not for them. They're not even serving Christ. But this one, the same. A lot of people say, oh, God will supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Pay attention to the context. That's for a church that's giving to missions. That's for a church that's giving so that the gospel can be preached in Rome and wherever else Paul goes. By the way, we support missionaries. The Lord might have Brother Sutton up in Medford, Oregon for 5 or 6 years, and maybe the job gets completed, another man can take that, and maybe the Lord moves him over to do the same thing somewhere else. My opinion is, I guess I'm just giving my opinion, that we support the man, not the place. Some people are funny about that. You'll go in a church and they'll say, well, we're looking for another missionary to take on. And you'll say, well, I know a really solid man going to Africa. We already support one man in Africa. I'm just like, here's your sign. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of ridiculous. I mean, Africa's got a few more people, you know, than just one man can reach. We already support one in China. We already support one in America. America could use thousands of men right now sent out. Where we're sending Brother Minot and Pastor Mitchell, honestly, you could send 100 men. And there's 400,000 people there. You could send 100 men preaching the gospel all over that area. Probably still wouldn't reach everybody because time's flying. Babies are being born. More are moving in. People are moving away. How would you get them all? And so let's be wise about claiming this promise. But I want to encourage you. I believe Lighthouse Baptist Church can claim this promise because you're giving like that. And if you keep giving like that, then you can say, ours is to give and ours is to receive the promise. God will supply all our need according to His riches and glory. So praise God for the power of God. Give and God will supply. And what is your part as an individual member? For it's all power belongs to Christ. Go to all nations, teach them all things. It's for all of His churches, and I believe it's for all of the members to have a part. Father, we thank You for this passage. We thank You that Paul was strengthened to do everything that Christ said for him to do. And the church at Philippi was promised supply from God through Christ. Thank You for the strength and the supply. We believe it for Lighthouse Baptist Church. I don't believe we're stretching anything in Scripture at all to say we claim that promise. As long as Lighthouse Baptist Church continues to give as they are, we claim this promise for them also. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Give a great harvest, we pray. We want to see You come quickly, Lord Jesus, and we look forward to come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.